Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Definitely April Fool's Day, 4 o'clock. Heading into a little Chris versus the fans here on Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. He and Jesse Agler will have the call. Padres, Guardians coming up tonight at 6:40. Pregame show, Sammy Leavitt, 5:40. And that is after our show finishes up with a brand new segment. Right around 5:15, don't miss the Scraby segment.
Oh, we got a lot of great stuff.
I bet you do.
Lots of great stuff.
Good. We have a big five at the bottom of this hour. Tony will rejoin us for that. But right now, we're going to give you a chance to win a trip to Las Vegas. Go see some fun music, local bands. You win Chris versus the fans, you qualify. So let's go. I say.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The bands you will be seeing if you win this grand prize. Well, let me just read the whole thing, because I started out in a different thing, and now my brain's all messed up, so I'm just going to start from the beginning.
I can't believe your brain is
You will be
up.
Qualified for our grand prize. 2 sold-out tickets to the When We Were Young Festival in Las Vegas on October 18th, featuring Blink-182, Panic at the Disco, The Offspring, and more. Tickets for day 2 on sale now at whenwewereyoungfestival.com. I'm getting up there, Chris. This is my festival. When We Were Young, does that mean I'm old now?
No. You're never going to be old when you're paired with me.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
No matter what happens, you're always going to be the youngest.
I will always be the youngest on this show.
There you go. Stick with me, kid.
Tony's like a year and a half older than me.
Stick with me, you'll still be young, no matter what.
Okay. The rules, you have to make it through 3 questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you'll get the first question for free today.
All right, one quick note before we start Chris versus the fans. Padres lineup features quite a few changes tonight. Not ready to give it to you yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give it to you after we play Chris.
Baseballlineups.com?
Or you can go there if you want to. But otherwise, just stay tuned. I'll give it to you. But we got some new faces in there tonight.
I haven't seen the lineup yet, so I'm excited.
Yeah, me
too. Let's go to our first contestant, Daniel. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Pretty good. Go Padres.
And I'm a first time.
Player!
All right, here we go.
We go absolutely nuts every time there's a first time player.
Number 2. I got so many good ones. Let's see. What is the title of the song Jose Iglesias made famous?
O-M-G.
That's right.
O-M-G.
I love that song. I've listened to it like 400 times.
That's a little, mentioning Jose Iglesias there, a little foreshadowing
Ooh.
To tonight's lineup.
I haven't really seen much of anything from him yet, but I guess he's going to be
really
starting.
Hasn't played yet.
All right, if you get this right, or Chris gets it wrong, Daniel, you have won. So here is question number three. What college was the first 16 seed to take down a one seed?
Eva.
I'm going to pass to Chris.
Ooh, he's going to pass to Chris. Smart move.
Not really. Not this time.
What?
Maryland, Baltimore County. They beat Virginia. That was like the biggest thing ever. Sorry.
Daniel, I'm sorry.
I'm kind of crazy on seedings like that.
I wish Chris will let people win, but
what would be the point of playing the game if I just like arbitrarily just chose people to win?
I don't know. I just feel bad for first time players.
I do too, but that's, you know, you hang with them, you come back, you fight to live another day. That's all.
Okay.
You know, that's part of the way life is. Did you not listen? I told you to listen to Rick Pitino's speech to the St. John's kids at halftime. Did
yes.
I tell you not to listen to that speech?
I've listened to it, but all I can see is Rick Pitino talking.
I know. You got to hear the words.
I've heard the words.
Okay. Well, so if things don't go your way, what do?
Party.
Fight a little harder.
Let's go to Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Talk to you, sir.
Ready to play?
He's ready.
All right.
I can hear it in his voice.
Yeah, me too. He's serious.
Yeah, he's ready.
What Dodger slipped in the shower and aggravated his surgically repaired ankle yesterday?
Freddie Freeman.
I'm not kidding, Chris, when I say that. You think you're dying as you slip in the shower for a half second there.
Slipping in the shower is not advisable.
All right, here's question number two, Alex. There are three teams in Major League Baseball yet to lose a game. Name all three.
Dodgers, Padres, Yankees.
Wow. Whoa. I thought Alex, the Yankees was going
to
give...
Alex, you got 1 second to name all three. Oh, he did it.
He did it.
He had no problem with that. Very good.
All right. Question number three, Alex.
All the money.
Which school won the first NCAA men's basketball championship in 1939?
UCLA.
Fight.
Stay there.
You're going to hate me. I want to duck.
I mean, you were there, probably.
I'm going to duck because it was the Ducks. Oregon. Sorry, Alex, I just know that. It's one of those crazy factoids I know.
This is my head banging into the mic.
Phil Knight was very excited.
Sorry about that, Alex.
Sorry, Alex. Good to play you.
Phil Knight should be excited.
Well, he was in 1939, had he been there.
All right, let's go. I didn't get a chance to screen you, but your name on this says Moyes. Moyes?
Moyes. M-O-I-S-E.
Okay.
Moyes? 973.
Going once.
Phone number.
All right. Let's go to our next contestant,
Moyes,
Eric in San Diego. Hello, Eric.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Can I call you E-Man? Does anybody call you that?
You sure can.
Right, a lot of people call you E-Man, don't they? I just had a feeling on that for some reason.
My brother's named Eric, and no one's ever called him E-Man. No one's ever called him
Come
E-Man.
On. All right,
Eric. Here we go. Question number one.
Because your family isn't hip doesn't mean that Eric's family isn't hip.
Which Padres bench player played for the Mets last season? Unfortunately.
That's another vote for Jose Iglesias. He's having a big day on the game show. Sorry, E-Man.
It's because you named him E-Man that he.
I don't know.
Happened.
I had a few of those, like when I was in high school. Like, hey, Big E.
Big E.
I wasn't even that big, but you know, it must have sang to people. I don't know.
All right, let's go to Jared in Poway. Hello, Jared.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Good, Jared. Good.
Let's get going. Question number one. Today is the two-year anniversary of what San Diego sports history moment?
Getting to the championship of the NCAA.
That works.
A winner.
That works.
Lamont Butler Day.
Yes.
You just call it Lamont Butler Day. Call it for what it is, right?
They should.
How difficult would it be to make a little proclamation and stick it in
the
record
city?
Books? Sure. I don't know what a key to the city actually gets you in that direction,
but I can't because it will take us off track.
Yes, right.
All right, Jared, question number two.
Jared got that one. Good job, Jared.
What pitcher retired today after 13 MLB seasons?
Shit.
Nope.
Moving on to the next contestant.
Can't win.
Yeah,
sorry.
You can't win if you swear.
All right.
Automatic elimination
Injection.
If you swear. Yeah. Sorry about that. And I know it's never... In fact, I could tell for sure with Jared, it was not in a moment of trying to
swear. No, I didn't do it on purpose. Yeah. It was, oh, great, I don't know this one.
Right, yeah. We got to be careful, though. No swearing. You're immediately eliminated,
yes,
no matter what.
You're not banned from the game or anything.
Also, if you use a certain word that Scraby used yesterday on the show, you're also eliminated.
Which, by the way, I did a lot of looking into that last night, and I really don't think it was a problem. I
guarantee it's
Actually,
a problem.
I'm going to text Adam right
Guarantee that's a problem.
I'm going to text Adam right this second. Hey, Adam.
Don't text him right now. We got a game to play.
Fine.
Text him at the break.
Jose, Chula Vista. Hello.
Hello, Jose.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good, sir. Pretty good.
You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right. Good.
What school is Sister Jean associated with?
Sister Jean. It's been a while since we've heard from Sister Jean. This is the number one question?
I have no idea, so I'm going to say like BYU.
BYU, I like the guess.
Sister Jean would never go to BYU.
No, she's too cool for that. Well, are you asking because they're playing tonight in the NIT, or was that just coincidental?
This has been in there for a while.
Loyola Chicago. Loyola, Illinois. Yeah, the Ramblers.
The Ramblers.
They made the Final Four one year. And if you're wondering out there, why we have this, I have no idea, but they're Sister Jean.
We do have a
Sister
What?
We have a Sister Jean bobblehead in here. I couldn't tell you
that is insane.
Where that came from. But,
all right, we're doing tiebreaker.
I'll give you a player.
Kyle Hart KBO numbers?
No, that's ridiculous. Let's go with the Red Hot. No, he hasn't played long enough. You got to have a little longer career than that. How about Paul Goldschmidt?
Paul, that's a good one.
He's having a good year. Off to a good start.
That is a good
Goldie.
One. Goldie.
Of course, all the Yankees are cheating and using the bigger bat.
I don't think he's using the torpedo, though.
Man.
Giancarlo Stanton said when he comes back,
he's going to give it a try.
Torpedo me.
It may be illegal by that time.
It could be because he's never coming back.
Right. We know Giancarlo Stanton does not come back quickly.
All right. Paul Goldschmidt. Very, very robust numbers, Chris.
Yeah, he's had a good career.
Let's go to Matt in La Mesa. Hello, Matt. Matt.
Next.
Oh, my God.
We don't have time.
We ain't got no time.
We ain't got no time.
Cole, are you there?
Cole.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Cole.
All right, Cole. We're going to be playing the tiebreaker.
All right.
So here's how it goes. You stay right there. I'm going to ask Chris for a number. He's going to give it to me, and then Cole is going to guess whether the actual number is higher or lower than what Chris guessed.
Gotcha.
I think that was the best I've ever explained it.
Pretty well done, yeah.
All right, Chris.
I bet you even Cole understood that.
Yeah,
which is probably
I think so.
Rare.
That's a good thing for me.
Good.
Chris, what is his career batting average?
Paul Goldschmidt. How many years is he? I guess it doesn't matter how many years he's
15.
Played. 15. Goldie's, he's better than average.
He spent 6 years with the Cardinals, which is insane.
Seems like he just got to the Cardinals and now he left. I think he's better than average, Paul Goldschmidt. Not though a 300 hitter, maybe a couple of times. How about 285?
285. Cole, is the actual answer higher or lower?
It's going to be higher.
Higher!
Higher!
Cole has a lot of confidence in Goldie.
Nation! Nice job, Cole. You hang on the line. I'm going to get your information in break. Got to get my applause. And then I will say Chris was very, very close. Like, I almost expected Cole to say lower because his career batting average is .289.
Well, if you would have said lower, you'd have been wrong. So.
Yeah, but .289.
Good job by you, Cole. You can qualify to win the tickets to go see Blink 182 and also Las Vegas and all that fun stuff. So congrats.
I'm looking at this. Is he a Hall of Famer, Chris?
Paul Goldie? I think he's in the Hall of really, really good.
He could probably get to 400 home runs with like a couple more years.
I know. A lot of these guys' numbers are so, you know, a bit inflated, not to say that they don't hit. It's just a home run era.
His career OPS is .892.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not bad.
He's not bad at all. He's an all-star 2-4 seven times. I guess it's not that
2-4-7. That's pretty good.
Well, I saw that.
And he's got one MVP and he's got four gold gloves. I'm looking him up here. So, yeah, he's got 4-5 silver sluggers. Paul Goldschmidt will make a run at it.
Yeah.
But last year hurt his chances.
It hurt everyone's chances.
He stunk last year. But he's with the Yankees now. Maybe he'll have a rebirth.
A resurgence.
Let's check traffic. When we come back, I promise you a Padres starting lineup with some new faces in there tonight. It's next after traffic, Gwen and Chris.
Man, when was the last time you felt unstoppable? Low testosterone could be draining your energy, strength, and sex drive. At Beaumont Health and Wellness, we help men reclaim their power with hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and IV hydration. Get peak performance with our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to fire up your system. Beaumont Health and Wellness. Age is just a number. Desire is forever. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I did go to the ball game last night. So sat with Big Frank up there in the press box.
Big Frank isn't big anymore.
Not as Big Frank. Yeah. Right. We should call him not as Big Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
And Big Frank, or not as Big Frank, was watching the finish of his beloved Mets.
Oh, don't bring it up.
Sorry. I got to say it. It cracked me up, man.
His Mets fandom strikes a chord for people.
I'm sorry about that. People.
It strikes a chord for me, too.
He's from New York City, and he grew up, you know, following the Mets. I mean, I don't think you can hold it against the guy.
I think he has Mets eliteness in him.
Well, he might. But he also has a little Mets nerdiness as well.
Totally.
All right? Now, Frank, if you're out there, it's okay. I still like it. But he's watching the end of the game on his laptop last night up in the press box. Mets are leading by 6 runs. 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th, 1 man on base for the Marlins.
Why is he watching?
Because he's a fan. He's crazy. The Mets pitcher strikes out the batter. The game's over. The Mets win by 6. Frank goes, "Yes!"
What?
And I was like, "Wow, Frank, I mean,
what?
I'll give that to you if there's a tying run at third."
Oh, my goodness.
But they won by 6 with a guy on first base. It wasn't like they were going to lose this game ever.
Not to mention you're in the press box.
Oh, no, he wasn't loud enough to disturb the press box.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't mean to give off
but
that.
But it was still like an overly confident.
It was just an overreaction. in my mind. You know, when you're up by
That's
six
really funny.
With a runner on first base, that game's over. You've won that game.
That game is over.
Yeah, you don't need to be sweating that out. But God love you, Frank.
That is hilarious.
Congrats on a Mets victory last night there.
Next time I see him, I'm just going to go, "Rah!
Mets win, yes!"
He might even be coming in tonight.
Frank's probably going to come in and strangle me tonight. He's probably listening on the way in,
oh.
If I know him. All right, Padre lineup is out for tonight. Now, they are facing a lefty, so keep that in mind. Logan Allen, starter for the Guards tonight. So the Padres go with this. Fernando, of course, leading off. I read somewhere that Fernando's led off 165 games in his career. So that's a whole season, basically,
yeah,
of leading
yeah.
off. 165, pretty close. In those 165 games, according to what I read, Fernando, 50 home runs, 39 steals in those games alone.
Okay.
So I think Mike Schilt knew something here by changing this up and putting him at leadoff. And, you know, eventually Arise is going to get used to batting second, and then it could take off even more so than it has.
I will not make a call for the leadoff batter to be changed this year. I'm just not going to do it.
All right. April 1st, 4:24 p.m. We'll see how long. But, yeah, Fernando in the leadoff spot is wreaking havoc right now. It's working fantastic. Arise is batting second. Manny third. Xander fourth. I got a quick question for you on Xander. Let me see where I wrote.
Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, I wrote a little note down, and I want to get it right, so that's why I'm looking. Because we haven't talked at all about Xander this year.
Not really.
Right? It's all been about Fernando, Gavin Sheets, Manny's defense, you know, the pitching, the bullpen. How about Xander Bogaerts so far? If I told you that Xander Bogaerts has a better OPS right now than Jackson Merrill, would you believe me, or would you think it's a April 1st
April Fool's prank?
Yeah.
I would think that it's close because he's hit a lot of doubles.
Okay.
But the way you're phrasing it makes me think that he has a higher OPS than Jackson Merrill.
He does. 903 for Xander, 892 for Merrill.
Wow.
So Xander's doing okay, people. You know, I don't think he's getting a lot of the, you know, like, hey, Xander's finally turned it around. But it's five games.
I think we need to see it.
It's five games. I know everybody's ecstatic with what Jackson Merrill's doing this year, right?
Yeah, of course.
Well, Xander's been better than him, according to the statistic there.
I think Xander needs to just, which he is, lay low and just do his thing, and then we'll eventually recognize him.
Letting him lay low because I just told everybody he's doing better than Jackson. Xander's batting fourth tonight with the lefty on the mound. Merrill is batting fifth. Yuli Gurriel, he's had one hit, and this is the luck for the Padres right now. It won the game.
It did, yeah.
The other night. So he's batting sixth
night,
in DH. The 1-0 game, yeah. Was that Saturday or Friday? Jose Iglesias makes his first Padre start tonight. OMG. He'll be at second base. Give Crony a night off against the lefty. Brandon Lockridge starts in left field, batting eighth. And then Elias Diaz. I'm always a little surprised Diaz is back in there tonight. He was swinging like a rusty gate last night. 0-4, just did not have a good, you know, didn't have very many good swings. But my guess is Michael King said, let me go with Diaz.
Yeah, probably.
Maldonado's going to play. It's just a matter of, you know, where how they want to divvy it up.
I think is he hitting? He has some hits this year.
Yeah, Diaz is 3-10, so he's hitting 300, which is very acceptable. But he didn't look very good last night. I thought they would give him tonight off. Anyway, Diaz is back in there batting ninth. If you're interested in a Cleveland lineup, Jose Ramirez is batting second. That's pretty much all you need to know.
Stephen Kwan batting first?
Yes. And Nolan Jones, just acquired from the Rockies, is in the middle of their lineup tonight, as is Bo Naylor. Gabriel Arias, who started as a Padre farmhand back in the day. But a night off for Austin Hedges, the slugging catcher of the Guards.
How do you give him a night off after hitting a home run?
His best night of the year.
Did you see the roster news from the Padres?
No. Where was I?
Well, they just tweeted it out.
All right.
A little bit ago.
What
time was it? 3:54. So a little bit. But
yeah.
Infielder Tyler Wade has cleared waivers and been outrighted to AAA El Paso.
He's back.
He's back.
Good.
He'll be back on this team.
Without question.
At some point, they're going to need him.
I'm surprised he cleared waivers.
Me too.
I thought somebody'd want to pick up Tyler Wade. Why not? I mean, a guy that can play every position and, you know, not ever hurt the club. And the Padres didn't have the room because they got Iglesias already. But I'm surprised Tyler Wade. And we're still waiting for them to trade Eggie. They only got a few days left before he'll go back to waivers or whatever. So we'll see.
We'll see.
There you go. You got your Padre lineup. You're set to go. Scorecards in hand. Padres, Guardians, 640, 540 pregame. Next, Scraby's Big Five. It should be a doozy. All right, 97.3 The Fan rolls on. Gwen and Chris brought to you by Robert Half. At Robert Half, we found that 67% of companies want to increase contract talent. That's why our recruiters' expertise and award-winning AI work quickly to find the skilled candidates that you want. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. 4:34 is the time. Scraby has a jam-packed Big Five. We got some traffic for you, and then Scraby goes to work.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a lot to get into here in the Big Five. We got some serious topics. We got some topics from last night. And we also have, of course, some more torpedo bat topics. And we'll get started with the first one, which will be something that happened in last night's game. I was listening to the radio, and Tony thought this was a brilliant move.
Number five.
Manny Machado had a pretty heads-up play by tagging the runner going to third while he was interfered with and ended up getting a double play. I know it's a very simple explanation, but the Guardians TV broadcast was having none of it, and here it is.
Both take off and an easy out at third.
They're going to call them both out.
Well, that might have been a ball.
Arias interfered with the third baseman.
Well, let's see what happened.
Because he grabbed him.
All right, so you heard him say it. There might be a balk. I hate that word. It's so hard to say for me.
Balk?
Balk.
Okay.
So, Tony, you were right on top of it last night. Was this a balk?
I didn't even think about a balk until I heard that late, so I went and looked at it. It didn't look like a balk to me. It looked like he stepped off, turned, and threw the third. Right? He was, yeah, threw the third. And Manny heads up, went to, I mean, this is how smart Manny is. He didn't even have the ball in his hand when he did the throw, right? And that was because he was trying to get it out of the glove when my man was holding him. And I think at some point he realized, I got to at least attempt. And so he just pulled his hand out, no ball, and the rest is history. We've seen a bunch of headsy plays from our infielders in the last five games. So, I think if you probably had asked my next-door neighbors today, they would probably say that it wasn't a balk.
All right, Chris, was this a balk?
I thought it was when I saw it initially. I have not looked at it on the replay. It looked to me like he just twisted his feet and threw to third. I didn't see him step off. But again, I haven't looked at that part of it a second time. So I thought potentially balk. But beyond that, a brilliant play by Manny. And I tweeted it out right when it happened. I mean, the IQ of this guy is off the charts, and it showed up again. There is not another third baseman that I know of that would have ended up getting a double play out of that play. But he did all of the things necessary to draw just enough attention to it so that the umpire had to go, wait a second, this might be interference. You know, Manny doesn't fake that throw, like Tony said, with no ball in the glove. I don't think they even think about making it interference. So, look, Manny, he's got a great IQ. We've talked about it before. It showed up again. I have one last thing on this play. I cannot believe, is it Stephen Vogt, the manager, still of Cleveland? Can't believe he just nice and leisurely walked out, had a quick discussion with the umpire, accepted the double play, and walked back.
It's a choose your battles, Chris.
All I know is that Billy Martin, Lou Piniella,
Earl
Weaver,
here we go.
It would have been an That would have been an all-time moment for a manager to lose his mind that an umpire was awarding a double play on that. I don't think he would have got it changed, but it would have been a lot more entertaining. And if that wasn't the play of the night, I don't know what was. Because, you know, the next guy got a base hit, and that would have scored a run. Manny does it again.
He does.
Bottom line.
To be clear, in order to get the interference call, it is the same as at home plate. You have to actually make the attempt to throw. Like, if he just falls and is like, oh, he held me, I can't. You didn't attempt his interference because you didn't give us no evidence to really use. So it was a headsy play from Manny, as we said.
From my couch later in the evening, I was thinking, Manny didn't have the ball in his hand. Like, how is that an attempt to throw? You don't have the ball in your hand.
It's a demonstration of he's interfering with me so much that I can't even get the ball out of the glove to attempt to throw.
It's such a smart play because even if he had a clean throw, I don't believe he could have thrown out the back runner at second base, right? But he just makes it seem like he might have been able to. Yeah. And so the umpire had to call the interference. It's so smart, and that's, you know, we've been talked about it. That's the underrated part of his game is how much knowledge he has about the game.
Baseball IQ.
Yeah.
Number four.
The torpedo bats are the most controversial thing in baseball since Babe Ruth was traded to the Yankees. An anonymous executive predicted it will end soon. They said, quote, I think they'll be banned. I think MLB will be compelled to establish a rule to prevent them from getting out of hand, and I think the interests of fairness will direct that rule to be something that more or less bans the torpedo design, end quote. Chris,
who said that?
An anonymous executive.
Oh, okay.
Your favorite person. It's not from the Yankees, I'm thinking. Are we making this more than it needs to be? Because Ellie De La Cruz switched to a torpedo bat yesterday, hits 2 home runs, 7 RBIs.
First of all, this Philadelphia Eagles executive, whoever they are.
Eagles executive? This is baseball we're talking about.
They're the ones that are trying to ban the tush push. I figure they're trying to ban the torpedo bat as well. There's certainly not nearly enough data yet for this to even be considered. Ellie De La Cruz had a good night. A couple of New York Yankees have been using the bat, have been swinging it well. That's not enough. So you're right. If everybody uses a torpedo bat, starts hitting 2 home runs in a game, I imagine they'll do something about this. But it's way too early in the process.
Tony, are we making this more than it needs to be?
Yes, we are. And I love the anonymous executive. Not even a source. There's an anonymous executive out there saying he thinks it's going to get banned. I wonder, is this guy even in baseball ops? Is he just a suit up top? You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't know much about how this works. I don't think it's as big of a deal. You know, I'm based on what I know now in terms of it having to fit the criteria that Major League Baseball has always had. And I think we have to all, you know, those of us talking about it have to be careful how we explain it, right? Because the assumption is that they have somehow moved the barrel down to the label of the bat, and you have this huge barrel to be able. That's not the case here. They have to be still within the framework. They may have moved it. We're talking not even inches. We're talking millimeters, I'm sure, in order to, you know, for certain guys to square it up the way they want. And so I think we are going to need to educate ourselves about what exactly is happening with these bats as we keep talking about it, because we run the risk of blowing it out of proportion and making it for people who don't watch the game like us every day. Assume that somehow there's this nefarious action happening with the bats, and that's just not the case.
The Yankees are getting, you're right, Tony, the Yankees are getting tabbed as big-time cheaters now by people that don't really get the whole thing that's happening.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I know, you don't mind. people are tweeting out AIs now of, you know, of Yankee players holding bats with barrels that are the size of, you know, gigantic tree trunks.
Yeah,
so
it's hilarious.
It's pretty funny right now. The other thing that why I don't want to overreact yet is somebody like Brandon Lockridge, who played in the Yankees organization, said he was given every opportunity to use one, and so was everybody else, and most of the guys didn't like them.
Yeah.
So, you know, a couple of guys are using them. Ellie De La Cruz had a good night. That's keeping the attention on it for sure, but I don't want to make too much of it yet.
I just hope that they're tracking when Jazz goes 0-for and breaks two bats. And so we can, like, make sure that we are, say, hey, these things aren't they're not a cure-all. You're not finna just go out and just have four hits a night. Because that's how it's seemingly starting to sound. Oh, you're gonna get two homers by using this torpedo bat. It's just, you know, we sensationalize everything. This is the newest thing.
Yep.
Number three.
All right, to kind of a serious story, but Pat McAfee and crew brought up a news story a month or so ago, and The Athletic has written about how it ruined someone's life.
Whoa.
There was an internet rumor going around about an Ole Miss student who had a girlfriend, and the rumor was that the dad of the student had relations with his girlfriend. This is not true. It did not happen. The segment lasted 2 minutes, but the girl in question, or the woman in question, Mary Kate Cornett, the college freshman at the center, wishes that she could move on, and ever since this has been said, she has been receiving creepy phone calls, texts, and voicemails after her phone number was posted online. Someone swatted her mom's house, and she had to move off campus because there's so much negative attention on her. The point of the article was to ask how much responsibility Pat McAfee has in contributing, ooh, that was a tough word, to her life falling apart. Tony, how much responsibility does Pat McAfee shoulder here?
If I'm being honest, I only read the Athletic article. I didn't actually see the segment. I feel like I would need to have watched the segment in order to make a judgment on how much responsibility.
It looked like Adam Schefter was extremely uncomfortable.
You watched it?
Yeah, because Adam Schefter was there, and he goes, that's why they brought it up. They're talking about an Ole Miss player, and Pat McAfee goes, hey, have you heard about what happened at Ole Miss? Kind of like he does, like he jokes around, and it's not like, it doesn't seem malicious, but in this case, it ended up hurting someone.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, without answering it directly, because I didn't watch it, I think we all hold some responsibility in how we talk about, especially stories that are not confirmed. You know, we've been burned on that before. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a great feeling. And so you certainly, and that's just from our standpoint, it's not a great feeling, right? We're not talking about the people who are actually involved in the story and how that, you know, can take shape and affect their life. So I think we all have a responsibility, especially on things that are unconfirmed or rumor, and that's from that standpoint. But yeah, I mean, I would really like to have seen the segment so that I could speak to the actual question you're asking. But I do think, you know, even us on this radio station have a responsibility in how we talk about things and making sure that we got the facts right.
I guess I should have. I couldn't play this segment because it was too long.
Yeah.
But I should have sent it. Chris,
I'll start.
Sorry, I laughed at the. We should make sure we get it right because occasionally we don't, but we try to get it right all the time.
I'm going to start this answer, Tony, by saying that I have heard that Pat McAfee is an idiot.
Okay.
Now, having said that, I really haven't heard that. But the fact that I would go on the radio and just willy-nilly say, you know, I heard Pat McAfee's kind of an idiot. There would be a bunch of people who listen to our show that just would go through life thinking that Pat McAfee must be an idiot because Chris Ello said so on the radio.
Where do I start? Mel Kiper?
Well, okay, there are people that I do think are. My point being is if I start, you know, going out and saying something like that totally unsubstantiated, then I have to take responsibility for what I'd said and, you know, putting Pat McAfee in a bad light. Seems to me he put this young lady in a bad light. Whether he meant to or not, he did. So I think he has to take, you know, own up to this. I think an apology needs to be.
He did.
He did? Yep. Okay. Well, then he knows.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, so he knows.
Know
he was
this
in the
happened,
wrong.
Like, the actual segment happened a while ago. I just saw The Athletic this morning.
Yeah, but unfortunately.
I saw the I'm sorry, go ahead, finish, Chris.
No, I was just going to say, unfortunately, even though he apologized, this is going to stick with this young lady, right, no matter where she goes, because a lot of people aren't going to hear the apology.
Here's the thing. And I think, you know, Pat comes, although he does such a fantastic job in today's, you know, ecosystem, he comes from an era in which, you know, people weren't crazy enough to hunt down said girl and figure out who it is, you know, when he's not using any names. Like, there was a time where you could tell a story like that, and it would just be a story, and people would go on about their days. Now we have actual psychopaths that will figure out somehow through the words and lining up pictures, and they're detectives, basically, that can figure out who he's talking about without him ever using a name. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of where we are now.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is
I still
people
not...
would take their time out of their day to figure out, man, I wonder what girl Pat McAfee is
talking about. Who's he talking about?
Right. That's crazy to me.
It is crazy.
I've heard the wives' tale about Kevin Costner sleeping with Cal Ripken's wife so many times that I almost believe it at this point.
Well, it is true.
Well, there you go.
That's it's not
whole,
true.
That's my
it's
whole point.
It's not true. It's
so
not
what,
true.
What people say, others tend to believe.
It's
and,
not
and
true.
And so Pat McAfee's got to be a little more careful next time.
I mean, this goes for me, too. I think out of the three of us, this goes for me more than anything, because I run with a lot that might not be true. And I've been better. Been a lot better, but yeah.
We spend a lot of energy reining you in. Let's just say that.
Sometimes I get a little crazy.
Number two.
Tony's reeling me in on the screen. ESPN announced today it has finalized a deal with NFL reporter Peter Schrager. Front Office Sports First reported last week that Schrager was nearing a deal, and he leaves his roles on NFL Network's Good Morning Football and Fox Sports Sunday NFL pregame coverage. He will be embedded with ESPN in time for the NFL draft in Green Bay later this month, and he's ultimately going to appear across ESPN studio programming on shows like Get Up, First Take, this dirty Pat McAfee show I've heard about, SportsCenter, and NFL Live. Chris, really hard-hitting question. Does this move the needle for you?
Who's Peter Schrager?
Exactly.
I mean, I couldn't pick him out of a crowd.
I know who Peter Schrager is just because I used to watch Good Morning Football a lot.
But, you know, this is obviously good for him. I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, he's going to make a whole bunch of money. He's obviously been good at his job, good enough for ESPN to want to bring him in and, you know, try to break stories.
Yeah.
So, but I really am not, you know, I don't know who
well-versed
he is.
In Mr.
And you
Schrager.
Also know that I don't watch any pregame talk shows on any network about any sports because I think they're all just a bunch of hot wind, most of them.
Hot wind.
I do, yeah. Bluster. A lot of bluster.
All right, Tony. Does this move the needle for you?
No, but I do know who he is. I know who Peter is.
All right.
I don't know if it's irony because you had because of the last question, but I saw him on Pat McAfee's show this morning.
He's already out and about. Yeah,
and he had some good info. I actually sent you guys some stuff earlier in the chat that we talked about earlier, but. In terms of the insight he had on this whole tush push thing. But nonetheless, I don't know that it moves the needle. I mean, how many more insiders does ESPN need? They got, it seems like, all of them.
They got Shams. They got...
Well, you're in another sport now, I mean, but they
got
Schefter for football.
Schefter.
Yeah, Schefter.
Yeah. But you said Shams. Shams is NBA.
No, yeah, but I'm saying ESPN as a whole has all the insiders.
Yeah, they got all the insiders. Passing.
Passing.
It's
your
you
favorite
know,
guy, David Schoenfeld.
Well, look, this is what these guys do an amazing job. I mean, they really do. They break every story before anybody else knows. I would really love to, you know, sit down with one of these guys one time and try to, you know, figure out exactly what they do and how they create relationships that allow them to do what they do. We take it all at face value, but there's a lot of hard work going on behind the scenes to make this happen.
Late hours, too, that I'm not interested in.
No.
Same.
And just, like, on the phone endlessly. Ugh.
Right.
Number one.
You can't even, like, leave your phone upstairs with that kind of job.
Nope.
Like,
no.
It's
with you.
Like,
I mean,
have it on your hip.
I think Schefter says he has a shower phone so that he can tweet while he's in the shower.
My bad.
That's ridiculous.
The 49ers gutted their team to make way for Brock Purdy's contract, and Some are surprised it's taking so long for the deal to get done. 49ers CEO Jed York said, quote, "We knew that we had to make sacrifices around the roster to make sure that you can pay a quarterback," end quote. Some of the media in the Bay Area are starting to think Brock Purdy's contract is going to be a really bad thing for the 49ers. Tony, is Brock Purdy's contract going to be a really bad thing for the Niners?
No. Here's the deal. You need one in order to be good, and you have to pay one in order to be good. You should be able to, we can go down the list of really good quarterbacks. All of them are in contention for playoffs. So these other organizations have figured out a way to piece it together while paying their quarterback. We just watched the Bengals do it.
Yeah.
Something I don't think any of us thought they would be able to pull off.
Yeah.
But they did it. And so, you know, I don't want to hear from the 49ers crying poor or the way that York, it came off from York was like, well, we had to kind of gut our team in order to
make way.
Yeah, nah. You need to figure out a way to keep competitive with your quarterback that, quite frankly, you set yourself up good through the first five seasons because he was making dirt.
Should have taken more of advantage of it when you had the chance,
right.
49ers.
That was the plan, Chris. It just didn't work out.
Right. So, I don't want to hear nothing about, oh, we had to gut our team for the quarterback. Nah, man. Keep that same energy.
Go ahead, man.
Figure out a way because everybody else is doing it too.
Chris, as a team who has his team paying a mediocre quarterback.
Way too much money, but they have to.
Is this going to hurt the 49ers?
The contract itself is, I think it's going to be all right. I mean, it's what Brock Purdy has earned, and as Tony said, this is what they get. But I don't think the 49ers are going to be as good, and I don't think Brock Purdy's going to be as good, because he's just not going to be surrounded by the same level of talent at every position that he was the last 4 years.
One that's gone is Debo.
By
the way, they're also trying to lowballing, from what I hear. Good quarterbacks are at 50 and higher. They're trying to get in the 40s with them, so they're already trying to cut corners.
It's interesting, though, I mean, because Tua's only as good as their offensive line, which they have never figured out how to protect him. And Brock Purdy's still going to only be as good as the guys around him. So we'll see. I think the 49ers are, you know, they finished last year. I think they should get comfortable in that spot for a while, Scrape. And so should their fans.
Yes, they should.
You finished last!
We did,
dead
Chris.
Last.
We did. Yeah. You know, your quarterback, now I'm feeling cornered, so I'm going to have to say something.
Don't do this.
Tua.
We already know about the Dolphins. This is a new
your
thing.
Your quarterback had to learn how to fall correctly because he gets hit
and
so much.
And he still hasn't learned correctly.
Okay. So for the Big Five, when we get
I can
back,
make fun of him with the best of them, Scrib.
Setting you up for Game 2 of Padres and Guardians on 97.3 The Fan.